Matt Greenwood back in the KJF studio coming up on 420. It is 88 degrees outside, and joining us in studio is the new Grandview boys basketball coach. Let's introduce to you 23-year-old Taylor Hassel. Coach, welcome onto the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Man, 23 years old, you're going to be a first-time head coach. And you've coached around this area. Now you've taken over a Grandview team. And let's be honest here, struggled the last couple of years, kind of in a rebuild mode. But what better time to what better person to have than someone who is 23 years old, can relate a lot to these kids. Let's dive into kind of, you know, how it went about you getting this job.
Yeah, well, I know Grandview sort of was bit by the injury bug a little bit the last couple of years, so that always makes it tough to win games when you got all that unexpected stuff thrown at you. But I've had an opportunity to do a little bit of coaching the last, 4 years. Well, my sophomore year of college, which would have been, the 14-15 season, I was able to be a volunteer assistant for the Hillsboro High School staff. So I graduated from Hillsboro in 2013, and that was my first kind of stint at coaching, and kind of got my feet wet with being pretty young on a staff. I coached some of the guys that I played with, so it was sort of learning how to walk that line between ex-teammate and, you know, sort of a guy that's not that much older than them, but also a coach, and trying to sort of manage that relationship. So I got a great opportunity there with Coach Johnson, which I'm very thankful for, and I think helped a lot. I was able to work at SEMO the 2 years after that, my junior and senior year of college. I was the head manager for the men's team, worked a little bit with the women's team as well, but got to be around pretty big programs and got to see some struggles and some successes in 2 years there, which I think, again, was helpful to sort of see both. And then I graduated in May. I left in June for packed up and left to North Carolina to coach at a prep school. The prep school is sort of going through a transition phase. They were moving from one city to another. I was going to be coaching at the high school level. They ended up not being able to get their high school program up and running. It was not really anybody's fault. It just sort of construction stuff didn't move as quickly as anticipated. So without me really having a team to coach, I really wanted to try to have a coaching opportunity. So I started applying places, and I ended up being an assistant. I got a job as an assistant coach for a Division I junior college called Kaskaskia College in Centralia, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Familiar with that one?
I did that for this past season, and then season ended, and sort of moved home and started subbing a little bit, and thought I was ready for a head coaching chance, and I heard about the Grandview job opening, and like you said, it seemed like a really good fit for maybe someone who's a little younger and looking for their first, you know, getting their feet wet head coaching wise. So excited that I was the opportunity was there, and now that it's sort of been handed to me.
And I hope this doesn't come out right, but you don't seem like an intimidating figure,
right?
Being about 5'8", 150 pounds.
5'9" with shoes on now. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, not the biggest, scariest guy anybody's ever seen. So, yeah.
I guess the point I'm trying to get at is, you know, some kids might be intimidated by an older coach, bigger, stronger coach kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, but a 23-year-old coach who looks like them,
right,
you know, can relate to them, I would think that could be an easy transition for you, and maybe you can get the most out of the guys.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely different. I'm not the guy to scream in anybody's face. I'm not very scary, like you said. but no, yeah, it's definitely more of trying to relate. Maybe I don't know. I'm trying to think of an analogy. Maybe like if it were a professional team of some sort, maybe like an older guy that's quote-unquote veteran, you know, some of those younger guys maybe look up to and listen to guys that are technically their teammates but sort of serve as like mentors and coaches. Maybe it's sort of a situation like that, or try to lead that way, where it's more like, hey, I was here like not that long ago playing, you know, in your shoes, and it was really not that long ago. Plus, it's nice, you know, I can throw the tennis shoes on and play with them if I have to. Right now, my back doesn't hurt too bad yet. My knees are still somewhat intact. So that helps a little bit too. But yeah, it's definitely a different angle being, yeah, close in age and, again, not a physically dominating figure, we'll say.
I was worried about offending you, but I think maybe the older coaches we might have offended a little bit. No, it's kidding. when you were talking, after you answered my first question, you were talking about all the different places that you've been, all the different places you coached. I mean, and as you graduate high school, you're, what, 18 years old?
Yeah.
So in 5 years, you've done all this traveling, all this coaching. Have you had a chance to really just kind of actually sit back and reflect on things that you've learned?
Yeah. Well, a lot of drive time with all those moves is good to reflect.
I guess that's true, yeah.
It's been a whirlwind a little bit, but you know, it's good. I'm not, you know, as you move through life and you get married or you have kids, you've got stuff like that maybe keeps you from being able to go and do stuff. It was early, and I'm just graduated high school, so you don't have any stuff like that tying you down. Really, you can kind of just go attack stuff, was, you know. So it's been fun. It has been busy. It's been a whirlwind. You and I talked a little bit before we came on air here about how much I've moved in the last 365 days.
Right.
But yeah, I try to make sure I give myself some time to appreciate where I'm at, you know, while I'm there, and not take any of the experiences that I'm getting for granted. You learn something every time anything happens, whether you did well or you didn't do well. There's always something you can learn from. So yeah, I try to make sure I make myself take some time and reflect and say, man, this has been really cool so far. It's been a lot and it's been really fast paced. And sometimes you feel a little overwhelmed. You want to just get settled down and unpack your bags. We had a couple times where, you know, I was just living out of a suitcase. I didn't have time to unpack before I had to pack up and move again. So, but it's been fun, and I have got an opportunity to learn a ton. So, shout out to all the coaches I've worked for and with so far in this chunk of life after high school. I've gotten to learn a lot, so I appreciate those guys definitely.
Let's while we have everyone listening, if you don't mind, let's dive into some specifics. Some coaches at Kaskaskia.
Sure.
Simo, you mentioned you had a chance to coach there as well. Coach Johnson.
Right.
What have you been able to just sort of pull from each one of those coaches?
Let's see. Maybe we'll go in. Let's go in chronological order. So
okay.
I played for Coach Johnson at Hillsborough for 3 years. His first year was my sophomore year. I was actually coming off an injury. I broke my leg in the middle of like my freshman year, so I didn't get to play very much. It was like the middle of January. So I didn't get to finish the year as a freshman, and then I was sort of finishing like rehab and getting myself ready to like be able to play basketball again as Coach Johnson came in and sort of flipped the program on its head in a good way. And we just play style wise is what I mean when I say flip the program. We turned it from it had been more of a walking up the floor, kind of banging into the post and play sort of a slower controlled pace style of play with Chris O'Connell, who was the head coach before Dan Johnson. And then Coach got there and he was like, hey, like, we're not that big anymore. You guys graduated all your huge kids, so we're gonna try to play fast. And I think that really fed into the personnel that we had when I was in school. So I learned a lot about playing a controlled version of fast basketball. It wasn't, you know, throwing it around in the gym all night and turning it over 25 times. It wasn't that, but it was pushing the pace and fast-paced basketball that was really fun to be a part of, and I think an effective way to play when you get good at it. So as a player, he was really fun to play for. I learned a lot. We had a pretty unique relationship, he and I did. As a senior, he gave me a lot of say, which was cool. He let me do a lot, or, you know, during games he would ask me what I saw, and I really felt like he, you know, trusted me. And you know, it's not like I was making the calls or anything. Obviously he was, but I would get to,
right,
I would get a little bit of, you know, he'd be like, hey, what do you think you're seeing out there? That kind of stuff. So we had a pretty unique relationship, player to coach, which allowed me to turn around and coach with him. And so seeing the behind the scenes stuff, how hard he works, you know, going and taking time out of a night to go maybe watch some teams play that you might see during the year, so that way you're ready when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out, you know, coaching the kids you have versus
the kids you want to have.
The kids you want to have. That's a good way to say it. Yeah. So sometimes I think you know, you give so much time to this coaching thing and so much thought, and you're like, this is what I want to do. I think this is the best way to do it. And then maybe you get, you know, wherever you're going to be coaching at, and it's like, maybe the kids you have don't really fit that. And I think he does a good job of seeing, okay, what do we have and how can we accentuate sort of our better, like our strengths, and how can we kind of maybe hide our weaknesses. So right. Learned a lot of that kind of stuff, at least for the first time with him. And obviously those other coaches, good coaches do that. So mm-hmm. Coach Ray was the first time head coach at SEMO when I was the manager there. His name's Rick Ray. He'd been lots of places. He'd been at Clemson. He'd been at Purdue. He'd been at Mississippi State. So he'd been lots of different places, and he sort of brought like a tough, hard-nosed, defensive sort of attitude. So I learned, I'm not the best defender in the world. Anybody who watched us play when I was in high school would never point at me afterwards and be like, man, that kid really plays great defense. I was one of those things we had to hide when Coach Johnson was coaching on defense. But I was always sort of an offensively minded guy, and sitting and watching at practice and being on the bench and stuff for 2 years with Coach Ray, I got to see tons of defensive stuff. I learned so much defensive stuff just by watching him coach it. And he did a really good job with that program. Like I said, he came in and coached a roster that was not one. Now at the college level, you do get to pick a little bit who your players are to fit kind of how you want to play. He got a roster that did not fit at all his coaching style. So he kind of had to make some changes. It was sort of a tough growing pains year for him. And I think we were 5-25. It was sort of a grinded out year. And we're mm-hmm. changing the way we do things around here, kind of a deal. Turned around the next year, I think they won 15 games my senior year. So totally like tripled the win total. And sort of started building a culture. Beat some good teams. So learned a lot from Coach Ray defensively, and just how to run a good program. I was behind the scenes, so I got to see a lot of that kind of stuff as a manager. You know, you're washing laundry, you're giving out or organizing gear and taking inventory. You're doing mm-hmm. sometimes not the most fun stuff, setting up practice, but seeing how he ran a full college program with how stressful that can be and how busy your hours are, like, got to see a lot of good stuff there. And then at Kaskaskia, their coach's name is Brian Hancock. He gave me a shot as a young guy again, like, sort of came to him late. I got hired, I think September 29th, I signed my contract. Practice started October 1st.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't meet, like, I met the player. I was meeting, like, getting to know the players as we were practicing.
Right.
So he sort of, you know, he kind of went out on a limb, took a chance on me, which I appreciated, and he helped me make ends meet right at the beginning when I was, again, it all happened so fast. I didn't have a place to live right when I got there. I was living out of his guest room at his house, so very appreciative to him and his family for allowing me to sleep on the air mattress. I don't know if he'll ever hear this interview, but thank you for letting me have the air mattress for a little while there. And again, you know, he works crazy hard, unbelievable hours. I don't know how he does it. I don't even know if he sleeps half the time. He works really hard. So again, a work ethic kind of thing. And he gave me a lot of freedom as a young guy. Sometimes I would say, I'd be talking to my parents and being like, I feel like I can handle it, but like, I just feel like I have like maybe too much say for somebody who just started doing this. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. You don't feel like it's your place as a 21, 22 year old to say all these things, have all these opinions.
Right.
Things.
Right. Exactly. And not to question his judgment. He did a great job of, you know, making the final call again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like sometimes I was like, man, I sort of thought I was going to be kind of watching and learning and just helping on the sidelines, where it's more like, hey man, what do you think we should do? And I was like, looking at him, like, I thought you were supposed to tell me, you know?
Right.
So I got a lot of freedom, and I got a lot to experiment a little bit with stuff and look at, like, different things. Sometimes they didn't work, and it was good to, like, see, okay, well, maybe I didn't teach that very well or whatever. So, again, just got a lot, got to play a lot this last year with a group of junior college guys, which, again, that's different than which I wasn't coaching at SEMO, but I was around the Division I guys, and it's just a different mix. You got Jefferson County High School kids I did for a year. I was around Division I guys in a Division I program, and then junior college stuff. So I've sort of gotten three very different experiences. And then I guess I skipped Combine Academy, which is where I worked in North Carolina, and we did a lot of individual workouts because it was off-season time. It was over the summer. Okay. So they didn't have, like, the kids that go there are home. And it's a college prep school, so you're recruiting kids to come that maybe aren't getting the exposure that they feel like they should get as a high school player and are looking to get some more college exposure so they can earn a scholarship. Maybe they're from a small school, or maybe they were on a team with like nine guys that were incredible. They just didn't get to play very much. So those guys would come in for weeks at a time, or we had a kid from Ireland that lived with us and worked out like twice a day. So we got to do individual workouts with him every day. So I got a lot of learning again with like skill development stuff there. That's what I learned at Combine, just to fully answer your question. Sorry for being so long-winded.
No, you're good.
But yeah, so I've been fortunate. I've gotten to do a lot so far. So,
well, it's good that you got a lot to say. Good that you've learned a lot of things. You know what, Taylor, we're going to let you rest that voice of yours. I don't need any rest. You do. So we'll let you do that. We're speaking to Taylor Hassel. If you haven't heard, he's the new Grandview boys basketball coach. He's here today on KJS Sports Talk. It's 4:35 right now. We'll step aside for a few minutes. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Taylor's playing career at Hillsboro. A lot of different accolades for him. We'll dive into that and kind of his time playing for Hillsboro and sort of what he learned as a player instead of as a coach/manager at the other places he's been at. And we'll just kind of see where he wants this Grandview boys basketball program to go. And so we'll talk about all those things when we come back in just a few minutes here on KJS Sports Talk. Matt Greenwood and Taylor Hassel, new Grandview boys basketball coach, in the KJF studio with you, jamming out to something he and I are both very familiar with, Semi-Charm Kind of Life. Right, Coach?
Yeah, I like it.
All right, so we've been talking about your experiences coaching. Just 23 years old, I think you said you've been like nine different places in a few years, and that's more than a lot of people can say. We teased going into break, sort of talking about your playing career, and based on what you were kind of telling us, it feels like coaches kind of were gearing you up for when you graduated high school. They were trying to basically set you up to where you could be a coach. Was that something that you were forward with them about as a player? Did you say, "Hey, coach, tell me everything that you think about me because someday I'd like to be a coach"?
As a player, maybe, I don't know as much maybe as a player. I know, like I mentioned, I broke my leg my freshman year. So that was, you can't play anymore, obviously. So I actually, I remember sitting, I didn't want to sit like at the end of the bench with like my crutches and stuff. I always sat by whoever our coach was, and I think that was the first time I really learned basketball. Like, I've been playing for a long time. Like, basketball's always been like the number one sport. Like, I played a little bit of football when I was little. I played a little baseball, but I always loved basketball the most. And you know, everybody was like, "But you're really short, you should pick one of the other ones." And I was like, "I know, but I just like this one the best."
Right.
So I think that was the first time I really like learned. Like, I would just, you're forced to watch. You don't get to go out there, and you just got to figure out like, why is some stuff working, why is some stuff not working, whatever. I think I sort of fell in love with like maybe the X's and O's part and just like the cerebral part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
When I was forced to have to watch it. So then I came back and was able to play, and now I found myself doing a ton more thinking while I'm playing. Like, I've been watching it for so long. Now I see, okay, like, here's all the stuff that nobody seemed to be able to like, you know, piece together. And I think maybe from there, I probably asked a lot of questions. I'm sure that was annoying when I was playing, like with Coach Johnson and, you know, Coach Gilman. Jason Gilman was our assistant, and I was probably always like, you know, why are we doing this? Or not to question them, just so I understood what, you know, what are we doing? What's the goal? Whatever. And I think maybe that sort of led to them. I don't know. Maybe I have some personality traits where they were just like, man, we need to maybe pour into this guy. Or maybe they were pouring into me because I was just always questioning them. I don't know. Either way, I definitely I was trying to be a sponge all the time with them. Just like, I just loved trying to figure out why stuff worked. So and then after that, once I got to SEMO and the other places, yes, I made it known to the people I was working with that I wanted to be a head coach one day. So they definitely would, you know, we would talk at whatever meals, like you're on a road trip with the team, right? And you're sitting with some of the coaches that night, and they're like, "So, you know," and we would just talk basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been great. I've been blessed. I've had a ton of really good coaches. I was actually just eating dinner with a buddy of mine last night after this kind of this whole thing has taken place, and I was like, man, we've been kind of he's a guy I played with. His name is Matt Moore. Shout out to Matt. Guy I played with in high school and lived together with him in college and stuff. He's like my best friend. He coaches women's basketball at Westminster, actually, Westminster College in Columbia. But we were talking last night, and I was like, man, we've been lucky. Like, we've had a lot of really good coaches, and everybody can't say that. So that's been super helpful. That's just, you didn't do anything to earn that. You know, I just got lucky. I had a bunch of really good coaches growing up. So that's been awesome and a huge help for sure.
I'm going to reel off the accolades, things that you were able to accomplish in your time playing at Hillsborough. Jefferson County Conference first team all-conference player, first team all-district, Jefferson County Conference player of the year, and happy to say, J98 KJF Dream Team athlete. So a lot of great things that happened. Oh, an academic All-State as well. So obviously you're a very smart guy as well. And the Perry County Character Award. So I think that's what, six, seven accomplishments, quite a few during your playing time, during your time as a high school student. When you think back on those things, are these things that you think you might reference whenever you're talking to players, about how to improve? Will you reference your broken leg and say, hey, you know, if you have a minor tweak of the ankle, don't give up, just keep learning, that kind of thing? Do you feel like you might be able to relay some of that stuff and use some of that stuff when you talk to your players?
Yeah, some definitely, like you talked about, like the injury, like I said, I think actually really helped me. So, like, you know, if, you know, knock on wood, God forbid, something bad happens to a kid, that's not necessarily the end all be all.
Right.
I think there can be a lot of good that can maybe come out of that. And I'm one of the people that believes all that stuff happens for a reason. So we just got to figure out why. But as far as from when I played, things I would probably lean more towards referencing is I got to be on a team my sophomore year that won the district. For the first time at Hillsborough, we won the first district title in like 23 years in 2011. So that would be something that I would be able to, that I would be probably the most inclined to go back and get. And that, I guess, is more of a team accomplishment, but I think maybe that's probably why I would reference it more than some of that other stuff, because all that stuff's awesome, and I was really very grateful, very humbled, all that stuff when I was awarded it, but you don't hang a banner for any of that stuff, you know. Like,
right.
It's cool when you get on the radio and somebody's like, "Hey, you used to play around here, and you were on the dream team, and you were this, and you were that." But like, other than that, nobody cares in 2 years or 3 years. Everybody will see when they walk in the gym, like, "Oh wow, look at all those banners hanging up." So
right.
Like, I can be 70 years old and go walk into the gym at Hillsborough and go look and point at the 2011 one and say, like, I was on that team. And some schools, you know, put everybody's name. They get a banner every time that, you know what I mean? And you can go point, some people can go point at their name and say, look, like, that's, you know, that was a special year. So that's the stuff that I, you know, would probably reference the most, is being able to say, like, I was on a district title winning team, and it was a wild ride. It was a crazy year, and that was, you know, my sophomore year of high school. There was a lot that happened. I got a billion stories, but yeah, that's what you're trying to do is win games. But it's nice being able to, I played around here, so maybe I can relate to some of the guys maybe a little more than somebody that didn't. So that's nice. But
when you talked about the coaches that you've learned from about how to be a better coach, what did you learn from them about how to be a better player, about having a better player-to-player relationship? Was that something you learned from the coaches as well, or was it more on the coaching side of things? Maybe they tie in together. I've never been a coach, so I don't know.
No, I think definitely, like I said, I've been blessed to have a lot of really good coaches, and I think a lot of them have helped all of us, so all of us that played for them, so myself included, be a good teammate. I think that's a big part of coaching, is not only making sure, you know, all the stuff you're drawing on the whiteboard makes sense, but, you know, your kids need to like each other, probably. You're probably going to be better off if they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, be unselfish and play, you know, the goal for any coach, this isn't groundbreaking, this isn't the first time anybody's ever said this, but you obviously want to play for the name that's on the front of your jersey and not, you know, whatever's on the back of it. That's when you're going to win games. That's when you're going to be successful. So for sure, definitely learned a lot about how to be a better teammate in my time playing for the coaches I played for. I wasn't always that's something you get better at the longer you do it. So, yeah, I was a better teammate as a junior than I was as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. I was a better teammate as a senior than I was as a junior. So that's something that you can never be too good at either. You can never grow too much in that area. But, yeah, they definitely taught us things about, you know, effective ways to communicate with each other. Some kids respond, you know, just like anybody and anything. This isn't even sports specific. People respond differently to different forms of either criticism or feedback or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Some guys, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, like prefer to be yelled at. Like, I for real.
I believe you.
For real. I was one of those dudes.
Otherwise, why go into the Army, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Nobody signs up for that unless that you're one of those guys. No, I was kind of one of those guys where you could raise your voice at me a little bit more and kind of, like, be harder on me. I almost preferred that in a way. But some other guys, like, you can't do that. Like, and people are different. And I think, our coaches, that's something that I was able to see as a player. Like, well, he talks to me different than he talks to him, and he talks to him different than he talks to this other guy. But they all – he's getting results from all three of us. You know, if he yells at player B over here, like, he immediately shuts down, puts his shoulders, you know, shrugs his shoulders, his head goes down, and he's done for the day. So, like, you learn that about your players, and now you understand, okay, when I talk to – so-and-so, I have to talk to him more positively, maybe, and then when I talk to this kid over here, I can be maybe, you know, jump his butt a little bit more and kind of, you know, come on, man, you know, be a little more critical or whatever. So, and that's effective, again, anywhere. That's effective outside of sports, how you communicate with people at work or whatever. You just got to figure out the most effective way and how people respond the best and try to communicate the most effectively with everybody and try to get everybody on the same page, so.
We had Cody Hunter, new Herculaneum football head coach, in studio yesterday, and we're gonna air that full thing tomorrow on KJ Sports Talk. But one of the things we got into was parents, and you know, parents play a big role, and you know, in a kid's life, obviously. And sort of what he and I were talking about, and you'll be able to hear it tomorrow, was the trust factor. Now, football is a little more violent. Mm-hmm. Than basketball, let's be honest, but at the same time, there is still the opportunity for something to go wrong, for a kid mentally to break down, you know, or something like that. And so when it comes to that sort of aspect of coaching, what can you tell the parents of kids that are on the Grandview team, or tell parents of kids that might want to come out and try out for the Grandview team? What can you tell them about how you plan on approaching that aspect of things?
Yeah, and that's a fair, you know, I'm aware that is going to be a fair red flag for some people saying, well, this is his first year being a head coach, and how much experience does he have with parents? Because, you know, I did the one high school year as a volunteer head coach, but then I'm a manager, and then I'm an assistant at a junior college. So, like, there aren't really parents that are involved there either. I think that you want somebody that's going to care genuinely about your kid, not how many points can he score for me, how many rebounds is he going to pull, how many touchdowns is he going to score, you know, whatever the sport is. It's more than that. And at some point, this is something that I learned at SEMO. I heard a coach say that, and I was like, you know, that's a good point. At some point, the ball quits bouncing for you. So whether you're LeBron James and you're going to play until you're – who knows how late that guy's going to play and be a stud. But whether you're going to play till you're 40 or whether you're going to play till you're 24 and you know, or 22 or 23 and you're done with college, or you're going to play till you're 18 and be done, or even before that. At some point, your ball quits bouncing, and it's time to do something else. So while I am here at Grandview to shape a successful basketball program and build a culture and try to win basketball games, I'm also and moreover trying to build successful young men, guys that are going to step into society whenever it is, again, 18, 22, 30, 40, and mm-hmm. be able to be leaders of their families one day and, you know, good coworkers. That's like being a good teammate, like we said earlier. Like, that's more important than trying to the X's and O's and how many points did you score tonight and what's your shooting percentage. I think if you get that other stuff, the intangible stuff first, all that other stuff takes care of itself.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you got to care about about people. It's about people. It's not about sports, really. The sports start part handles itself after you get the intangible chemistry, camaraderie, that kind of stuff going.
Okay.
So that, at least that's what I've seen so far.
When it comes to getting guys ready to play basketball, you got any camps coming up or workout times, tryouts? Do you have any of that stuff with you? Any information?
Yeah,
there?
Well, it's all brand new. So I've taken over like you mentioned for Coach Miller, who has sort of, you know, he's been the head coach of the program for a handful of years. So he's got some of that stuff set up already. With me being a little bit of a later hire, okay. I've inherited some of that stuff, so I know that he's already got a camp set up June 27th, 28th, and 29th, and I think that it's from 3 to 5 p.m. On those 3 days, and I am actually still talking with him about exactly how he's done it in the past, because, you know, there might be some things that I want to change. I might not want to change anything. Maybe I shouldn't change anything, whatever. So those are conversations we're still having to get ready for that as it comes up. We play in a summer league at Hillsboro. The varsity team does on Wednesday nights. So this will be my first week having an opportunity to actually like coach them in a game. I can't say everybody because some guys, you know, were either involved in other sports or whatever, but I met a handful of the guys at summer school yesterday morning for the very first time.
Okay.
So cool. It's pretty new as far as all of that stuff. So I don't know a lot of the other stuff going on. I just like laid my eyes on our schedule for like 2 minutes yesterday. So I haven't seen a ton of that stuff or done too much forward thinking. I'm trying to sort of go one hurdle at a time here. So I know we have a JV league on Mondays and that we host, and we go play in that Hillsboro league on Wednesday. So I'm figuring out the logistics of all that and how to run that, make sure everything's accounted for and handled. And then, like I said, I am aware of the camp June 27th, 28th, and 29th. And then after that, I'm not sure yet. So sorry, I don't know.
No,
I don't know
good.
The answer to those questions yet. But we'll get there for sure.
Certainly. And we've got about 30 seconds left, so I just want to take this time to say thank you very much for coming into the studio with us to talk with us for 40 minutes. Certainly wish you the best of luck, and we certainly look forward to working with you and getting to know you and getting to know these kids and your coaching staff and just be able to cover Grandview basketball.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited, too. Can't wait.
Taylor Hassel, the new boys basketball coach for the Grandview Eagles, joining us here today on KJF Sports Talk. That's a wrap. ABC News coming up in 3 minutes.